Shout it loud, hallelujah. May the Lord God bless you real good. May the Lord God bless you real good. Brought you here
to bless you.
May the Lord God bless you. Turn to somebody else and shout it loud.
May the Lord God bless you
real good. Turn to another person and shout it loud. Real good. Real good. May the Lord God. Turn to another person and shout it loud. Real good. Real good. Now pray for yourself now, yourself now.
May the Lord God bless me real good.
Real good.
May the Lord God bless me real good.
Real good. He brought me here to bless my life. May the Lord God bless me real good. Shout hallelujah. Raise up your right hand to the heavens. And declare this louder than anyone around you. Say, my God shall arise. And my stubborn pursuers shall pursue themselves. Open your mouth and declare it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, wherever my enemies are gathered, fire of God, scatter them in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God scatter them wherever they are gathered. Name we pray. Every enemy of my testimony, your time is up. In the name of Jesus. Makapota sepei likaribo sepende kantayaba. Daribo sepende keyaba. In Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen. To sing this song loud and clear to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we go to our school on Sunday. Jesus is a winner man. Jesus is a winner man. Jesus is a winner man. A winner man all day. Sing it loud and clear. A winner man. Jesus is a winner man. Jesus is a winner man, a winner man all the time. Winner man, winner man, winner man, winner, winner man, 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 a winner man all the time. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Oh, things are passed away. I'm born again, more than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. nation. I'm a brand. Sing it loud and clear. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Things are born again. I'm born again. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. Go ahead. I love the man of Galilee,
For he has done so
very much for me.
He has done.
Verse. By the reason of anointing, every yoke must be broken. By the reason of anointing, every yoke must Jesus breaks the yoke by the Holy Ghost and power, just as God Christ said, "This is the day of the light rain. God is moving in His power again." By the anointing, Jesus breaks them, not by power. It's not by might. It's not by power.
It's not by might.
Yes, by
my spirit.
Now cry against the mountain. His mountain
shall be removed.
Jesus' name.
Where's
Kosagdara, Jodabiti Jesu. Kosagdara, Jodabiti. Kosagdara. Agbara, ko soruko, ko soruko, ko soruko, oruko, oruko, oruko. Jesus, all the world, Jesus, all the world, Jesus, all the world. Complete in Him. I am complete in Him. Complete in. Hallelujah. I am complete. Sing it loud and clear. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Go ahead. It's not by works of righteousness, but by grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Oh, I am complete. Oh, yes, complete. Hallelujah. Where's the place? Hallelujah. Send that fire. The Holy Ghost fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Where's? Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outside. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, great and mighty God. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult. Behold, I am the Lord, thy God. Oh, oh. Hallelujah, is there anything? Is there anything too hard? Oh, hallelujah, is there anything to ask? Oh, hallelujah, is there anything? Is there anything to ask? I've been to Calvary. I dip my hands in the blood of the Lamb. I drink the blood of Jesus. My life has been made. I've been to Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My life has been made whole. 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 Lord, I got a issue. What? I got a lot to do. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. In the name Shout hallelujah. Raise up your right hand to the heavens and declare this louder than anyone around you. Make sure nobody's voice can overshadow your voice. This is a prayer of blind Bartimaeus. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Our Lord, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for a time like this. And we thank you for your children that you have gathered here by yourself. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you because you are higher than the highest, greater than the greatest, wiser than the wisest, mightier than the mightiest. We give you praise. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, this morning, open our understanding. As we enter into the school on Sunday, teach us by your power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. This morning, on our school on Sunday, we are looking at what I call the science of temptation. The science of temptation. Sisters, what did I say? And brothers, and you need to listen to me very, very carefully. When you listen to this very, very carefully, all the excuse that the devil made me do it, you find out is a lie. The science of temptation. Jesus was tempted like we, but he didn't fall. So he faced temptations, but he did not fall. It is not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to yield to that temptation. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it's important to open to James chapter 1, verse 13. Those of you who are fond of coming late to the services, one day you will get here, you will find us on our way home. We have closed. James 1:13. If you are there, say yes. If you can't find it, I'll wait for you. James 1:13. Listen to what he's saying. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Listen to verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Listen again. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. There is a drawing power. It draws him. You know, to draw a person, what it means? As if you are drawing a cow. It may be heavy to draw, but it's drawing it. That power that is drawing it is his own lust, the lust in your heart. That is the power that has held the rope and is drawing you. God does not tempt anybody. But the lust in your heart, that inner thing in you, is the one holding the rope, drawing you into what you should not be drawn into. God tempts nobody. Please understand that. Understand this very, very well. One day, King David was at the rooftop. His army had gone to war, but he did not go to war with them. Again, confirming that ancient wisdom that an idle hand is a tool of the devil. David was idle on the rooftop. He had sent his soldiers to the war front. If he had gone to the war front with them, he wouldn't be there hiding away on the rooftop. Right there on the rooftop while he was hiding away, the devil provided him with a fantastic color television. There was a beautiful naked woman having a bath, because the palace was high up, so he could see what was happening below. He stayed at home while others went to war. He was watching. He did not make a covenant with his eyes. Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Look at Job 31:1. There are many men here today who need to lay their hands on their two eyes and force those eyes into covenants, so that when those eyes begin to misbehave and they begin to do things that are not supposed to do, then they will know that, well, I have to take some action. The book of Job tells us that he has made a covenant with his eyes that he will not be staring at ladies. You need to make that covenant with your eyes. One day in the Bible college, there was a debate on David and this woman she was looking at. Some Bible students were arguing, why did this woman, why was he having a bath where others could see her if she was not an evil woman? Other group said, but okay, fine. She was having a bath. Who asked David to be looking at her? They kept arguing. God made a way of escape for David, but he did not take that way of escape. It is dangerous for your eyes to roam to areas not directed by the Holy Ghost. It is dangerous not to allow your brain to get into gear before you begin to use your eyes. There was a brother we prayed for many years ago. It was a strange case. By the time his mother brought him for prayers, the two eyes, they popped out of the cover of the eye as if it was going to drop down. That's how they brought him for prayers. Young man, what happened to you? He didn't want to talk. So I sent his mother out. Young man, what happened to you? I said that there is one old woman who lives in their house. The woman is a prostitute. I said, hey, so what? At night, I was staring at her through a keyhole. I don't know what brought me to that keyhole. And so what did you see? I said, yes. Yeah. The woman came down from the bed and she took off all her clothes. She was naked. And then when you saw that she was naked, why did you take your eyes off? I said, I don't know, sir. Something said, keep on looking. And I kept on looking. So all of a sudden, see, before my eyes, the woman transformed to a young lady, beautiful young lady, and was coming towards the door to go out. So then he ran away. But as he ran away, she said, Dej, I have seen you. And his eyes began to swell, popped out. He prayed for 3 months for the eyes to be normal. And even when the eyes went back inside, he still could not see clearly with them. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not be staring at ladies. There are many who need to lay hands on those eyes and decree fire upon those eyes that have lured you into evil. If David had followed that pattern, no temptation will have dealt with him. And if he had taken the simplest thing to do, immediately he looked at the roof and he saw the woman there, he quickly closed his eyes. That's all. God gave him a simple way of escape. He did not take it. This is the science of temptation. David now committed fully blown sin. And the sin did not stay little. It became bigger and bigger. You see, beloved, the first installment of sin is always very enjoyable. The waters of sin may be very sweet, but the consequences are disastrous. Disastrous. We Christians in this country, we need to pray seriously. In fact, looking back now, to show that we need prayer. Serious one. Most of, if not all the plane crashes that are crashing in Nigeria, they all crash on Sunday. Most of them. If I can remember very well. So Soluso crash on Sunday, Dana crash on Sunday. I think there's another one again that crash again on Sunday. And it's the day of the Lord. Something is wrong somewhere. There is something wrong that needs to be done with the house of God. The waters of sin may be very sweet, but the consequences are disastrous. So God took a very harsh decision on David. The decision he took on David was very harsh. So harsh that people like me, we shudder, we shiver when we read it. This man is God's friend. He has made a mistake. Look at the punishment he dished out. The punishment God dished out to David that day. As a result of that temptation that lured him to sin, it's still happening now. There is no casual sex. There is no having a fling. All the casual sites and having a fling, you are doing a transaction. Yes, I've asked for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive me. Yes. God will forgive you and remove it from his book that you have committed an offense. But the consequences of what you have done and the punishment, you will still bear it. You will bear the consequences. Being forgiven is different from being punished. The Bible says, though hands be joined in hands, no sinner will go unpunished. Every sinner must be punished. So you may be forgiven, the consequences will be there. David was forgiven, but the consequences is still till now. That's how we have to be careful how we live our life now. Because it's how we live the one in the past that is affecting us now. The multiple boyfriends you had in the past, you can see the effect they've had now. The abortions were carried out there, you can see what has happened now. So we have to be careful what we're doing now. Because what we're doing now will dictate what will happen to us tomorrow. That's why temptation is something we really should study and understand. Temptation is a chameleon in the spirit realm, deceiving people and luring people into destruction. I'm praying for somebody here. Any rope upon your head, any rope upon your neck, any rope upon your waist, any rope upon your leg, dragging you into destruction, let them be broken this morning in the name of Jesus. Let your amen roar like thunder. Let your amen roar like thunder in the name of Jesus. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, this is very harsh decision by the Almighty. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Very harsh decision. I fear when I read it. 2 Samuel 12 from verse 7. David was forgiven, but he was cursed. What a strange thing is this. Forgiven but cursed. Forgiven but cursed. Forgiven but cursed. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I will moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain me with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, number one, the sword shall not depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. 2. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. 3. And I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors, and they shall lie with them with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. 4. The child also that is born of thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah was bare unto David. Anyway, bottom line, the son died. Why? He did not make a covenant with his eyes. He was drawn by the lust of his heart. And then he was enticed. And that was it. This judgment was harsh. You see, this morning, take it as a morning of surgery. Surgery. It is important to pray that, Father, anything in my life that stinks to God, anything in my life that scares God away, God should take it out this morning. Anything that will hinder the move of the Holy Spirit in my life, whether conscious or unconscious, ask the Lord to reveal it to you so that you can deal with it. What I'm saying now is a personal matter, not a general one. Don't say, hey, they are talking about so and so. No, we're talking about you. You. We're talking about you. Don't say I'm a pastor. We're talking about you. You have to look at the confidential file of your life and look inside that file. Those things that you should bring out of the fire, they include things we cannot publicly discuss here. There are things that many people would not like to hear. Some of the things I'm talking about this morning, they may be so horrible as to bring tears to your eyes. Some are so shameful that we don't want to discuss it. But it is carrying the Holy Spirit away. That's how we have so many churches. Well, our salt is not salting our environment. I almost fainted the other day. I was supposed to travel that night. By the time I got to the airport, I found the women at the airport, they were shivering like this. So what's the matter? Say, Joe, armed robbery has just, they've just robbed this airport now. They've gone, they've killed policemen, they've done this. I say, here? Yeah. But my shock came when police now arrested those who did it. And I was a pastor there. Pastor. Praying for armed robbers, decree upon their head, thou shalt succeed. We need to look deep into our individual secret files that we're keeping. Why was God so tough on David? When a father loves a child, he becomes so meticulous about his upbringing. So it is with God. Many Christians do a lot of horrible things, and God is not particularly bothered. Not bothered about them. Things that you and I will do, and will break down and cry. Things that you will do, and God will immediately discipline you. Things that you will do, and the Holy Spirit will harass you to correct yourself immediately. Other brothers, other sisters, they will do it, and God just watches. Then you begin to wonder, why is my own so serious? Why is God so harsh with me? After all, this other person is doing the same thing and nothing is happening. Why is God so harsh with me? Why is my own so different from the others? A person that God wants to use as a vessel of honor, God does not take chances with them. Their training and discipline must be thorough. A young lady, God gave me a gift. When I see a young person who has a bright destiny, I can recognize them. I recognized one here many years back. We're talking about 1995. I took an interest in this lady, young girl. Gave her books to read, gave her CDs to listen to, because I could see where God was leading her. And she was obedient. She was doing it. He was studying psychology or sociology in Unilag, something like that. One day, I saw her. She was looking very sad. I said, what's the matter? She said, excuse me, sir. They are laughing at me in the campus. I said, why? So they say my breasts are flat and they are small. I said, so what? I said that the reason the breast is small and is flat is because I'm still a virgin. That if I disvirgin, if I allow myself to be disvirgin now and I'm sleeping with men, that the breast will balloon. I said, no. What you are saying is scripturally, biologically, scientifically wrong. I said, don't listen to them. When you are ready to marry, because I was 19 then, so when you are ready to marry, God will give you the husband that will like you the way you are. But she didn't like what I said. She went to another new generation of pastor. And I said, well, God's grace is sufficient for us. He has died for us. Don't worry. When you do it, ask God to forgive you. When you do it, ask God to forgive you. He listened to that pastor. That man only slept with her once. And she got pregnant. She tried to abort. No way. After a few weeks, problem started. Terrible stomachache. Bleeding. They did a scan for her. They found that they were triplets. One baby has gone to the right fallopian tube. Second baby has gone to the second fallopian tube. And they are stuck inside the fallopian tube. They were growing in the wrong place there. Then one remained inside the womb proper. So what should they do now? They cut off the right fallopian tube. They cut off the left fallopian tube. During the surgery, they mistakenly aborted even the one in the womb. So all three babies gone. Two fallopian tubes gone. Because of what? She was drawn. May any power draw you into Egypt be disgraced today in the name of Jesus. Sevenfold, amen. Why was God that harsh on that lady? It's because of the program of God for her life. I'm a laboratory man. In the laboratory, there are two items we use in laboratory. We call some disposable, some non-disposable. Or reusable or disposable. The reusable materials, they are always made to last. They are made to be longer and more durable. Whereas the disposable ones, just use it and discard it. Use it and discard it. There is Coca-Cola in a can. That can is disposable. But if the one in the bottle is reusable, that's how they take the bottle from you. They wash it and reuse it. They make the bottles to last longer and more durable. Those that are reusable materials for the Almighty, God has to pass them through some harder treatments to fortify them. Because they are not materials that God wants to discard. But there are some Christians. I hope you are not one of them. As far as God is concerned, they are disposables. They are to be discarded. That very wicked English word is what heaven is writing at the front of their name. Redundant. Redundant. When God assesses, render somebody redundant, means you are not needed. What are we saying here? For some people, God will not be thorough with their training. Their preparation is crash program. They are not made to last. Their son is meant to rise and to fall immediately. But there are some people, God wants to be using them on a regular basis over a long period of time. They are to carry the power of God, carry the anointing for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years or more. Such people, they dare not joke with God's commandments. If they do, they come under God's hammer, again and again. The word of God comes to them to break them down. Such people get filled and filled with the Holy Ghost. God will keep chiseling them, sandpapering them until they enter into the shape that God wants. You and I really need to pray this morning that, my Father, whatever you need to do to me, so that I will become a delight of heaven, do it to me now. Whatever you need to do to me, so that your power will remain in my life for years and years and years, do it now. You must have read about men and women of God who were very hot before but cold now. People used to say, hey, when Evangelist Peter was Evangelist Peter, when Sister Mary was Sister Mary, when Sister Mary was on fire. Many good Christians, they have become history while they are still living. I do not want to become history while I'm yet living. I don't know about you. I do not want to become history while I'm yet living. I do not want to become a storybook while I'm still living. I don't want to be made redundant in God's service. So we really need to pray this morning that the Holy Ghost should go into those hidden things. You must ask yourself questions. What must God remove in my life today that will hinder me? God remove it. Father, anything that will make you to stop midway in correcting my life, remove it now. God has a microscope. That microscope is what reveals what we are. Microscope. That microscope is what the Bible calls temptation. Temptation is the hidden microscope to reveal what we really are. Say, I trust myself. I cannot steal. No, let's wait till you have access to steal money and you didn't steal it. I trust myself. I cannot commit fornication. Let's wait till you are seduced. You did not fall. Then we know you have succeeded. The science of temptation. In my local school in Akure in those days, they told us an ancient story. Many old people here will know the story. Three men, they stole a large sum of money. And they were escaping in the forest with the money. The volume of the money was large. All of them had plans. In spite of the fact that that money was enough for the three of them to share, that was a temptation that they wanted it for themselves. So two of them planned against the third person. Say, if two of us share this money, we'll have more now. So what should we do now? So they decided that they were hungry. And they sent the third man to go and buy food. And that when he's coming with the food, they will shoot him at a distance. So the man that went to buy food too had his own plans. Is there no way I can get this money alone? It's okay. I will put poison inside the food and give it to them. When they eat it, they die. Then I carry the money. So they all had plans. Why? Lust for money is in their heart. It's drawing them. So the man who went to buy the food bought three packs of food. Put poison in two, left his own unpoisoned, and it was taken into them. But they were waiting for him. Immediately he came close. They blasted his head with bullets. He fell down. They packed him to the forest and took the food he brought. Because they said they were hungry. So they took the food, ate the food. Not knowing that he too had poisoned it. Two of them ate the food, they died there. The one that went to buy the food died there. The money that killed them was there. No owner again. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain that you take nothing out of it. You could build the whole of the Atlantic City, decorate Lagos with your houses. Once you die, that's all. They won't bury those things with you. You now face your maker. Naked you came in, naked you go back. So why allow 5 minutes of temptation to destroy your eternity? Why allow a few seconds of sexual enjoyment, maybe 8 to 10 seconds, to now kill you eternally? Why allow your reproductive organ to be the rope that is drawing you into perdition? Why? Let me give you a few statements about what I've said just now. To master temptation, let Christ master you. To master temptation, let Christ master you. 2, every temptation is an opportunity to flee to God. Every temptation is an opportunity to flee to God. 3, it is better to shun the bait than to struggle on the hook. Shun the bait instead of struggling on the hook. when they put worm inside the hook and put it inside water, what are they doing to the fishes? They are tempting them with food. It is better for the fish to shun that bait than to go and hit it, and then you are now struggling with the hook. Unfortunately, many of us are struggling with the hook now because we refuse to shun the bait. I was in New York. A Nigerian man came for counseling. He had married a very beautiful white woman. This Nigerian man had first class, was a first class brain. But beloved, there is a difference between being smart and being wise. You could be very intelligent, but you had dunce as far as spiritual things are concerned. Married this beautiful white lady. Problem started. After 2 weeks of the wedding, they will sleep on the bed in the night. Something will lift up the white woman like this and bring her down again. And the man will be watching. If he touches her, electric current will catch his hand, will remove his hand until that thing is over. And all this, the white woman did not wake up. So after looking at it for a while, he went and carried the Bible, which he had not been reading. Started reading it. And the woman gave him a serious warning. If you open that book again, you are finished. And when I finish you, I will finish all those your Nigerian friends. Then I'll come to Nigeria and finish your mother and your father. He said, That's what brought the man to the crusade. And as he spoke to me there, I felt sorry for him. His mouth was smelly. He had not had his bath. And he said he needed to rush back home before the woman wakes up. I said, but what dragged you to this woman? He said, beauty. Beauty. He's struggling on the hook now instead of shunning the bait. 4. If you do not want to fall into sin, avoid the brink of temptation. Avoid it. The Bible says, flee from every appearance of evil. 5. No degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. No degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. This is where we're going to stop this morning. We'll continue next Sunday on the science of temptation. But one thing is clear here. There are certain areas. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You resist, he flees. If the devil does not flee, it's because your resistance is either not there or is wrong. But there is a particular group of sin again. The Bible did not say resist. Say flee. Flee. Run away. That's what it says. Samson will have done well. He will have died a good man if he could talk to his legs and run. He did not run. He stayed there. Marry her for me, for she pleased me well. Marry her for me, she pleased me well. The parents say, you are a Nazarene. This girl is a Philistine. You are a Nazarene. You can't marry this person. We don't marry people like this. They are not children of Jehovah. No. Marry her for me, for she pleased me well. She didn't say pleased God. So Samson was drawn by the lust in his heart and then enticed. And that is it. So the beginning of major destructive sin comes with temptation. Many years ago in this country, they used to kidnap children from primary schools. It's not like what we're experiencing now. Those days, they come with goody-goody. Goody-goody is sweet. They come with robo. They come with what is the name again? This one, they give to dry thing with the cell. And they have, and they'll say, small boy, come. One goody goody? One goody goody? What are they trying to do? They are baiting us, tempting. So our parents used to tell us, you this boy, you this girl, if anybody is offering you free food on the street, don't take all. But many have eaten strange food. and it's affecting them now. I spoke to a lady who said when she was in the ward, she could capture any man. I said, said the native doctor taught her what to do. She will buy meat. Put the meat in her pant. Wear the pant with the meat. Put the meat in her private organ. Tighten it up with her pant. And sleeps with it. Next day, she will cook it. Spice it. Say one or two things that the native doctor taught her. And gives it to a man to eat. Once the man has eaten that food, he will forget he has a wife. Forget he has children. He forget everything. And that's why he will be resuming. Such to such a terrible level that sometimes a man is in a room, another one is knocking the door. She will ask the one in the room to hide in the cupboard. Why the one that is knocking the door comes in? And when the one that knocks it leaves, the one in the cupboard is withdrawn back to the bed, and the man's brain has been taken out. Why should I hide in a cupboard when I have a wife at home? Rise up on your feet. All eyes closed. In case you are here this morning and you are not born again, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, better do so very quickly now by raising up your right hand where you are and saying this after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that short prayer with me, immediately we close. Find a way to the altar here so that we can help you more. Beloved, it's important to go into the confidential file of our lives. Those things there that is stinking in the nostril of God. Those things there that because of it, heaven has advertised our position in heaven. Just like heaven did to Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. And yet, heaven was saying, who shall we send? It was on ground. But heaven is saying, who shall we send? So, meaning that as far as heaven was concerned, Isaiah was not on ground. Although he has gone to Bible college, but he was not on ground. This is why you need to cry to heaven. Cry to heaven from your heart. It is not a joking matter. That's why we have also started to study righteousness in prayer. If we are not righteous and we are praying, we are wasting time. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man that availeth much. Can you raise up your voice louder than anyone around you? Especially if you have interest in your destiny. If you have interest in your destiny. This kind of prayer is the prayer that allows the Holy Ghost to put a searchlight upon your life. Searchlight into your life. Can you shout this louder than anyone here? Please, it's a very serious matter, this one. Every weakness. Is that how you are going to play it? Can I hear you shouting it again? That voice is still not loud enough. That voice is not aggressive enough. Of my father's house. In my life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Papaterika, Bora Patasata, Rimokantelaka. Jesus' name we pray.
Let us share the grace of fellowship.